You're such an asshole.
It's beginning to look a lot like Monday. Every place I wake up. All right. Another question. Two-parter here. Dear asshole, please keep me the information in brackets anonymous. Welcome back, Capmeister. I'm a previous client of yours. I'm the guy from a place who comes from relatively well background. To celebrate the return of Cap, I'm willing to pay for two Clary originals. Feel free to either combine or separate these two video requests based on your judgment. All right, so we'll combine them because I'm a little short on time. What's your opinion on hiring extra people to work on asshole consulting? I think that it would be a great idea, especially for topics you don't have much expertise in. For example, some of your clients may ask which is the best school for engineering or what skills to supplement an existing major, Excel for accounts, programming for engineers. I've seen you do this type of stuff with Chad Elkins before for questions related to CPA exam, but what about other topics? I'm sure good old Cappy knows a few programmer students, doctors, engineers, and other professionals. Besides, it would also be interesting to see you do consulting work with these type of people. Another added benefit is that Cappy can actually take breaks instead of the sort of breaks the last two. Yeah, right there. Will Cappy share the platform and wealth of asshole consulting like the Democrat Party, or will Cappy become a and suck as much cock as possible? I will be sucking as much cock as possible. And I'm sure TJ Martineau will take that quote out of context. Here's the problem that you're not wrong. But as evidenced by me going to Elkins and enlisting him, my other buddy, if you look, we did I talked to my IT buddy. I had him on the show and we answered some, how to make it in IT. I always defer to people who have an authority, or I contact them and I say, hey, what's the, cause I don't have the answer to everything. And, I have no problem bringing in an expert. The problem is it's hiring. No, now I'm dealing with taxes and W-2s and W-9s and HR and employment law. No, it's not. Now, we have had a legacy issue. Well, not that we've just recently had it, but there is a legacy issue. When I die, there's not going to be not demand for asshole consulting. I mean, we're still going to raise kids under single-parent households, right? We're still going to fuck up our kids, right? Right, single moms, we're gonna raise kids under dysfunctional households and divorce and maybe never get married in the first place. Gee, I don't know who your father is. I don't know where your mother is. Right, we're gonna keep doing that. Right, feminism's still gonna be rah rah. Right, so there's always going to be a demand as long as the nuclear family is under attack and divorce is strong and well and feminism is glorious and powerful. There will always be a demand for asshole consulting, but I'm not gonna outlive that. And so I right now it'd be Atham. I'm leaving it because Atham, just so you know, in my will and testament, Atham will inherit asshole consulting because he is a man who's gone through hell. He's gone from zero to hero. He's a real man. He knows everything. He did not have things handed to him. And so, that's about the only employee I would consider having, but it's passing it on. I've talked about this before. Well, he's not that much younger than me. He's only, I think, 7-8 years younger than me. So he'll die too. And then he's got to pass on the mantle. So this asshole consulting will be passed on several generations of men down the road. And what I'm afraid of is Atham will pick someone who he thinks is the best, but maybe he missed something about that guy. And that guy is going to be not as good. And then he's going to pass it on to his son. And then it turns out to be nepotism. It's not a real asshole. Somebody will take this franchise and they'll be the asshole consulting of 2075, but it will not be true to itself. It will be co-opted. So I don't know what asshole consulting will be 100 years from now, but I can't imagine it not being there. I can't. It's going to be there because there's so many lies, so much propaganda and lies we tell our children. It will be there, and it's a profitable business. And so, we'll see. We see how the lineage goes with that. But that'd be the one thing is you had to be brought up poor. You couldn't have wealth. You couldn't come from money. And you had to be a real man on your own. I wouldn't be against a woman being asshole consulting, but I don't think that's going to happen because, they're surrounded by this tornado of misinformation and nobody corrects them because they want to fuck them, to quote Bill Burr. All right, two, this request is more of a broad philosophical question. So what does Cappy think that affluent children should do with their lives? Should they simply continue their parents' business if their parents are business people? Which one do you think will lead to more fulfilling life from these two options? One, to sell the parents' business and work their way up from scratch. Two, expand their parents' business so much that people who think that this heir is the founder of the business. That would be preferable, I guess. It all depends on the individual. Are they both equally honorable? Have you seen this happen in your own experience? No, I haven't. I've not known that many rich people. I did know a couple rich kids. And thankfully, their parents made them work. And these kids were not arrogant. So they did work. Have you seen this happen in your own experience? I've heard you mention your buddy Dave from Milwaukee. Yeah, Dave from Milwaukee. Yep. What do you think makes him him content and fulfilled with his life, even though he had everything handed to him? Well, Dave's dad made him work. Dave was also very nerdy. Not that great with the girls, but then he found a girl. He has kids, so he's married. He has agency and purpose. But it was not humility. His dad did not humiliate him, but he taught him humbleness. And Dave worked. I think he became an engineer. But as it goes back to, you know, which one do you think is more fulfilling? To sell the parents' business or work your way up from scratch? To expand your parents' business so much that people would think that this heir is the founder of the business? It all depends on you, man. And here's, you know, first world problems or zero world problems. If you got rich parents and they got a business, that's a problem. That's a question that the children have to address. Now, if you're an only child, okay, the heir apparent is apparent. But what if you don't want to run? Your dad runs a watermelon shop, and he runs the best watermelon shop in all of the world. But you hate watermelons. If you're like me, you're allergic to them, which sucks because I wasn't allergic to watermelons when I was a kid. And when I became an adult, and I can't have watermelon, which that really pisses me. I like watermelon. But you hate watermelon. And it doesn't matter that your dad built up this, the sweat and toil and all that. Yeah, you probably should liquidate the business, sell it to somebody who actually does want to run a watermelon shop. And you take the money and then you go do something that you want to do with it. Not frivolous. Don't blow it on hookers and blow, but as long as you do something industrious with that money. And it could be just as simple as raising a good family. Okay. You don't have to necessarily start another business. It could be, you know, okay, I raised my family. We got a lot of money left over. I'm going to leave it to my grandchildren. Or you could donate it to charity. I'm not against charity. It's just very few. We did one about charities beforehand. It's whether you want to run the business or not. But whether you choose to run that business or you take the money, you're going to have no soul. You will feel like utter crap if you just blow it away and coast off your parents' money. And I don't think you're that type. I think you're looking for some kind of industrious purpose with it. So yes, investing it in something could be just as boring as investing in the S&P 500. Because the number one thing, I'll tell you this for a guy, the number one thing, your number one obligation is to be a good husband to your wife and a good father to your kids. That's it. You do that, you're aces. And sometimes, okay, there's a bunch of money your parents had. Sometimes people win the lottery. It's good news. But don't let it make you arrogant. Don't let it make you lazy. And like I said, I don't think that's going to happen to you. But you should have to deploy that money and reinvest it somehow, not only for your own profit, but for your own soul. And not to sound like a communist or anything like that or touchy-feel, but for the benefit of society. You know, employ some people. And keep in mind, you could invest in an IPO. You don't have to manage it. You don't have to run the business. But investing in companies, you've helped employ people. A lot of the benefits of capitalism are just kind of boring and not sexy. It's like, well, I lent money to people through bonds. Well, those bonds went to what? Build a road, build some housing, whatever else. You're benefiting people taking that time, your parents' time, in the form of the money they left you, and then redeploying it somehow investing in society. So that there's that there. To expand your parents' business that they think that you are the founder, that's brilliant. And that happens every once in a while where dad comes up with the idea and he's an all right business guy. You know, he made a profit, but the kid has more financial savviness or has more business couth than the dad. The dad, you know, would be like, who's the guy that died of cancer? Steve Jobs. You know, he comes up with the idea, but then it's like, no, you need some business people in the and that happens. And that's fine too. But do you want to sell watermelons? That's the thing. I mean, I don't know what your dad's business is, but if you don't mind it, you're like, oh, I don't mind selling watermelons. Yeah. Take your family's legacy and make it even better. Absolutely. And the only other advice I'd give you in that regard is don't become your standard Western woman where you think that your job has to have some kind of meaning and purpose of value. That's the only thing that gives you value in life. Do not put your business at the center of your life, at the center of your value. It's a job. It's a job, man. That's what it is. And your parents thankfully created this job for you. It's yours to screw up. So let's say you're very apathetic about selling watermelons. I mean, yeah, you could take it or leave it. It's a job, man. You know, it's a job. And it shouldn't be whether you like selling watermelons or not. It's like, my family gave me this legacy. I'm not going to liquidate it, but I'm going to do my best. Your real job is to make it the bestest, most wonderful, multi-billion dollar watermelon selling place. And I think that is not that you even like watermelons, but that is what you would be aiming for. And just remember though, man, it's just a job. It's just to get money so that you can do what again? Be a good husband and be a good father if you happen to be married and have kids. Otherwise, just be a reprobate bachelor. Just smoke cigars, ride motorcycles, and drink. It's fun. Someone's giving affluent, is it? Yeah, so affluent children, it really boils down to your parents here, how they should live their lives. Like, did your parents, I've always said this before, like if I ever had money, I thought this back in the day when I was going to be rich and that never happened. But if I were to ever have kids, I would not let the kid know I had money. I'd act like we were poor. We'd live in a one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment. We'd have used cars. I'd dress up a certain way. I wouldn't tell my kid anything. I'd lie to him. I'd say, I'm just the janitor or I'm the security guard over at this place. And I go work whatever job, investment banking, or whatever I was going to do. So that the kid did not get used to having wealth. So I wouldn't spoil the – and I get them toys. I take them to Glacier National Park. I take them to Disney. I'm like, well, we're stretching the budget. That kind of thing. I teach them to work. I'd like, hey, you're going to go collect cans when you're 9 years old. You're going to collect that aluminum money. All right, now we're going to mow lawns. All right. Oh, I don't know if I could. I'd make him pay his own way through college. And then when the kid is 35 and has proven himself or herself that they're a strong, independent adult, I say, oh, yeah, you know how I acted like we were poor and we had used cars? Yeah, I actually am a multi-billionaire and here's the keys to the castle. Then that is how affluent children should be raised. They should not know they have affluence. They should not have everything handed to them. You should keep them in the dark so that when they forge themselves as responsible adults down the road, then they are responsible to handle the money. Because here's the thing, even if you raise them under poverty or near poverty, lower middle income poverty, but they know you got money, they'll just hold out. They'll, I got the insurance. Dad's going to die soon. I'm going to inherit it. So you gotta, and unfortunately, most affluent parents, they tip their hand because they live in a fancy suburb or they got fancy cars. And you know, like the kids kind of know, like, well, dad and mom. Now, what's also funny is just because you're in the suburb, fancy or not, doesn't mean your dad actually has money. I've seen that many times, more often than not, where it's like, no, this is all borrowed money. But truly affluent parents who have affluent children, I mean, don't wait. Don't let your kid know you got money. That's what I would keep them in the dark. I would say, no, we're poor, man. Well, you're going to have to work to pay for the money for your prom tuxedo. I got to go back and work security again. Then you wait till they're an adult, then you. So that's how I would. And you don't want to. Spoil, you know, how should affluent children live their life? Same thing as poor children. You should find out quickly first. Well, I mean, not quickly, but you should find out humans are the most important thing in life. And production and value and agency and reason of living, morality, principles, value to other people. You can't do that when kids rich. You just can't. It's like the worst thing possible to do to a kid or anyone. I mean, we could go to the other side of the income spectrum, which is somewhat ironic, but when you give all this money to welfare people, I mean, they're just as spoiled, mentally speaking, as some rich girl over in the WBL or the YZZ or anything, or Winnetka, because they've just been given things. And if you just like hold on, like look at Ed Lattimore. Ed Lattimore, he didn't come from wealth. He came from poverty. Who got himself out of poverty? Ed Lattimore did. Now, if Ed didn't come from that harsh end and he wasn't bailed out, which he wasn't, now you have the formation of a very accomplished man. If you don't know, Ed Lattimore is a heavyweight boxer. I think he's retired. He's like 8-1, programmer, writes books, very accomplished man, zero to hero. But if you were pampered, whether that was a government check through welfare or daddy's check through a convertible cabriolet, Fred knows what I'm talking about, you now deny that child the ability to grow and mature as an adult and the ability to find out what's most important in life. Because, I mean, you want to look at a joke of a family. Look at the Dayton's family. Oh, my God. Like, they just have way too much money. And they have no agency, purpose, or value. They just know more of my great-grandfather's money. That's really what it is. And they're boring people. I don't know what you wouldn't have an intellectual conversation with these people. They're pretty blah poo. All right. Maxi Mike, $2. Damn kids. Also, Mexican poops. We got our Mexican poops. Fred, he's also got the Mexican poops. Everyone's got the Mexican poops. Fred, again, for $2. Would Cap be a Chad if NBA CPA six-pack like Vlad? Nobody can be the Vlad Chad of the NBA CPA ship. No one can really be Chad Elkins. Or Vlad Elkins. There's only one. There's only one. It's like saying, will there ever be another Sean Connery? No, there will not. Fred, for $2 again, all my Chicago dates have been Chalfa Widowed by... Chalfa Widowed... Chalfa Widowed by Chad. Speaking of which, Chad Elkins, $2. Hey, Fred, we should hang out soon. Hey, we get the trifecta if we got the anthem up here. Joseph Jones, a dapperly dressed man for $2. I'm grateful that Cappy invited Turd Fling and Monkey to the conversation. Yeah, no, I like TFM. I like him. I like him. Alex Bogey, regular now for 10 generous dollars, was fortunate enough to work this summer with spoiled teenagers. They had no respect for elders and would take credit for their parents' successes. Happy to see them leave to get effed in college. I remember, was it a kid? It was a client, but... kid was upset because he didn't have a nicer car as all the other kids. I think it was Wayzata High School. I'm like, that's not their cars. That's their dad's car. The 16-year-old did not buy a brand new Mercedes. It was the dad that bought it. The 17-year-old junior in high school did not afford that brand new Range Rover. His dad afforded it to him or her. And that they always like, well, I don't have a nice car. Well, neither do they. But that's high school. Adriano Ramos, $2. Why don't you like Dakota Soviet architecture? What Dakota said? There's no architecture in South Dakota. There's no buildings out here. In Minneapolis, you want Soviet architecture, go to the West Bank of campus. Go to the West Bank in general. Go to any university. It's horrifically bad architecture. Alex Patino, our Latino truck driving agent in the field for $2. Here's more Mexican poops. We love the Mexican poop. How do he make his millions? Mexican poop donations. It'll be in my Wikipedia entry. Whichever one of you Hanyakers said, famous graduates, Aaron Clary, Carl Cisco Man, made his fortune through Mexican poop donations. That'd be like Turd Flinging Monkey. He's most known for photoshopping smiles on Captain Marvel's face. That's what he's most known for. Forget the economics. Forget the philosophy. It's all Mexican poops. Alex Patino again for $10. Just sent you pics of me trying to get my village in Mexico. Get to my village in Mexico. You'll see it's still beast. My wife's grandma is 100-year-old. Keep complaining about roads. Hey, you got a picture of the grandma? 100-year-old grandma? That'd be cool. My grandma's 94, about to be 95. That's going to be cool. That'd be great. I hope grandma makes it another 10 years. That's great. 100-year-old grandma. Oh, she's got to be full of piss and vinegar. I'm just picturing 100-year-old Mexican grandma. I bet you she points at you and lectures you about things you don't know. All right, that's it. Questions, answers, assholeconsulting.com. See you guys later.